The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Praise the Lord. God is good, and it's good to see so many new faces coming over tonight and sharing in the goodness of God as we seek to go over bridges to the future. We have been in a wee journey, as we see in Scotland over the last couple of days. We have looked more at the corporate picture than the personal picture. We have looked at that institution that we love and sometimes struggle with called the church. And we considered a number of perspectives, but more importantly, examined prophetically where the Lord is taking the church in the future. I really encourage you to get hold of the CDs, because what's on the CDs in many ways is a roadmap for your future. It's an indicator of the journey that you and I will be on. The church is an institution of saving grace. It's only in the born-again church, the body of Christ, that you can go through the door and hear the way of salvation. Walmarts don't really have a salvation aisle that I'm aware of. And McDonald's don't have on their menus salvation. Well, God no doubt turns up in all places on planet Earth. It's only in the church we have the knowledge of the way of salvation. So last night and this morning, we looked at different dynamics connecting us to what the Lord is going to do in our lives in the future. Tonight and tomorrow morning, it's all about you and I. Yes, vital information for you and I as we move into cycles of Christ formation, cycles of the word of the Lord doing a work within us, so there will be specific outcomes. I fully believe the scripture that Jesus spoke when Jesus said in John 15, "Without me you can do nothing." I really believe that scripture. Historically, I kind of believed it. I interpreted it as, without me, you can still do some things. And of course, as I've got older and hopefully wiser in the faith, I know without Jesus, I can do absolutely nothing. My whole life is based on divine initiatives. Unless the Lord initiates something, I don't even try. I don't even try and have a Christian life, a devotional life. I don't try and be a good Christian. I don't try and be a good church person. Because when I go down that road, all I do is find myself at the center. And when I find myself at the center, I know I will ultimately fail. We need Christ to be the center of our lives. We need to be at a place in our relationship with the Lord that He initiates. We discern and follow the Lord into our future. In simple terms, divine initiatives in a life bring forth divine outcomes in a life. When the Lord initiates, He brings forth a divine outcome. And it changes our life along the way. Tonight we're going to look at the Word of God and prophecy. We're going to examine the vitality of the Word of God in our journey of receiving and ministering prophetic words to others. Tomorrow morning we're going to be looking at the human spirit. If we have a faulty view of the human spirit or a misunderstanding of the human spirit, it will stunt our growth as believers and take us along a pathway of confusion, frustration, where the Christian life will ultimately appear to be more than we can handle and too difficult to achieve anything from. So tonight's message and tomorrow's message is deeply connected together. But we're looking tonight at the word and prophecy. I put out there that God wants to speak to us and God wants to help us. He wants us to have a working knowledge of relationship with the beloved, and he wants to reach us as we walk with the beloved. If you have a Bible, please turn to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 to 21. Isaiah 30, verse 18. God is gracious and just. That's the subheading in this particular chapter of Isaiah. That's the subheading that precedes Isaiah 30, verse 18. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. O people in Zion, inhabitant in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left. So we see in this portion of scripture something of God's heart regarding relationship with us, some incredible prophetic statements. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. This is good news this Saturday night. And therefore, he waits on high to have compassion on you. That's another powerful promise in our relationship with God. He wants to have compassion on us. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. We read in verse 19 and 20 of the people of God going through stuff in a difficult season. But yet the word of God conveys the intentionality of God and then trains the hearer to understand the voice of God, who will always guide and say, this is the way, walk in it. It's an assurance of guidance. It's an assurance of relationship. This is a house that's well qualified in the realm of the prophetic. This is a house that I believe can train up and release many, many more people into prophetic experience. Hands up right now if you've ever prophesied over a person historically. Lots and lots of hands. Hands up if you've heard the voice of God in your human spirit historically. That's pretty much the entire church. So we understand God does speak to us. The charismatic movement has put in place a major plank of teaching, emphasizing the fact God does speak. I have been ministering prophetically into Living Waters since 1999, 15 years ago. We've all been in a journey since then. We've all experienced life in all shapes and guises, but we have discovered along the way the Lord is absolutely faithful. Tonight, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to broaden out the lens. the danger with moving in a prophetic vehicle all the time is getting caught in the subjective, being cut free, being moving away from some foundations that keep us safe as believers, and beginning to drift into dangerous waters. Coming over on the plane from Europe on Thursday, I watched a movie on the in-flight entertainment featuring Robert Redford. The movie was called All Is Lost. It was about one of those kind of adventurous types sailing across the Indian Ocean in a yacht. He awakens one morning to discover a container has fallen off a ship and gouged the big hole in his tiny yacht. The water is coming belting in and flooding his laptop, his wireless radio, everything he needs to keep in touch with the mainland. This is a bad day for the main protagonist in this movie. But he's moving away from the bearings that would make his journey across the Indian Ocean safe. We need to know, as a subjective people flowing in the prophetic, that the enemy will do all he can to take us away from the moorings of the faith, the foundations of the faith, that we will be out there in a counterfeit prophetic sea, where there's storms, where there's devastations, where there's all kinds of containers. The enemy will send to our lives to ram our lives and to severely and profoundly mess us up. So I encourage you tonight, continue to grow in the prophetic, eagerly desire prophecy, but as a people, we're looking at something more powerful than just simply bringing forth prophetic utterance. We're looking at a people living in the reality of truth. In simple terms, theology and experience equals truth. I believe in theology. I have been an enthusiastic reader of theology for lots of years. Theology has helped shape my prophetic ministry and given me boundaries that I will never go over. I'm grateful for theology, but without an experience of what that theology promises and highlights, all I have is mental information. All I have is a memory bank in my mind giving me all kinds of information about God. Theology and experience equals truth. This at times is a source of great frustration. We have a theology of healing, but sometimes in our lives we need desperately an experience of healing. But when we encounter the healing power of Jesus and are impacted by the healing power of Jesus, we live in truth. Truth is a person. It's not just simply an experience coming out of a theological foundation. Truth is a person. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Jesus is the truth, and the truth that will come forth from our theological journeys will be the truth about a person. We read that truth in Galatians 5 verse 1 is all about freedom. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. That makes us children of promise. I believe that one of the main virtues of personal prophecy is the knowledge that God knows all about us. When many people were prophesied over for the first time in the 1980s and 1990s, there was a sense of, the Lord really does know me. He understands me. It was warm and fuzzy experience. I remember being prophesied over for the first time in Glasgow, Scotland, way back in 1987. I liked it. It was really special hearing the heart of God being proclaimed so clearly and eloquently into my own life. But as we move deeper into a calling, as children of promise, it's not just about flowing in the prophetic. It's all about enhancing our relationship with Him. We are in eternal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is alive in our spirits. At a technical level, we can't improve our relationship with Him, but we can enhance our fellowship with Him. In many ways, growing in fellowship with the Lord comes about in our lives through discovering a new language, through embracing a new language. In other words, we consider our spirituality. We're living in an era where there's all kinds of alternative spiritualities out there. New Age offers spirituality without belonging. In other words, it's something you can bring into your life at little to no cost and something you can explore with. The Christian faith does not offer such luxury, so-called, because we do have spirituality, but it only really works into our lives accurately when we enter into belonging one with another. In many ways, local church life is all about walking out a spiritual destiny together. In many ways, local church life is all about entering into a spirituality that takes us on a journey. In simple terms, our spirituality leads heavenward. That's where our spirituality points to. Our spirituality points to the triune God, heaven, eternal truths, and brings us into expressions of the kingdom of God that makes a difference in our lives in the here and now. The danger of living in a church that has so much prophetic flow is to begin to live by prophecy. I've gone to churches in America that have said, "We've heard nothing from God since your last visit, Alan." And that's always troubled me, because if anyone were dependent upon me for anything, I would surely want to pray for them. God wants us to live prophetically, but not necessarily on the principle of personal prophecy. Many hands went up this evening when I asked for a response regarding times you have moved in the prophetic historically. It's a challenging moment. It's an exciting moment. I'm always very nervous every night when I go out to minister. By now, I thought I would be at a place of God is bound to show up. He's been showing up at the meetings I've spoken at now for 18 years. Why should tonight be any different? But there's always an emptying of self before you go into a fresh meeting. And as we say in Scotland, you have a new dose of the heebie-jeebies. There's charismatic nervousness breaks out in my soul every time. So when we minister prophetically, it's terrifying and fulfilling at the same time. The anointing we carry abides within us. The anointing is residential. And I believe the Lord wants to challenge us this evening to begin to read the scriptures prophetically. We know the voice that bubbles up in the spirit when we have prophetic utterance for our brother or sister. So why shouldn't that same voice bubble up when we open the Word of God? I believe the Lord is purging the church of all religiosity. We can be so religious about reading this book. We can read it and memorize it. We can look at the technical language of the scriptures. All of that is helpful and will give us a conceptual framework and lots of detailed information. However, if that's all we have, we are missing the prophetic anointing that can cause the written word to become the spoken word, the living word in our lives. When we read scripture prophetically, what are we doing? Is it another spiritual discipline? Is it another mere exercise of our Christian faith? It needs to be deeper than that. For when we make it our lifestyle to be men and women of the Word of God with an expectation, with a deep expectation to move into a reading of the Scriptures prophetically, then we go into a place of encounter and experience. We can't just click our fingers and move into this. In fact, there's no formula, really, other than doing something with the Word of God, but being utterly dependent on the living Word that abides in your life. I do believe that when we hold a portion of Scripture in our minds, it manifests the presence of God in our spirits. It might not be dramatic, but it's well worth exploring. Go home tonight and ask God to give you a promise from the Scriptures and hold part of that promise in your mind, and the presence of Jesus will be absolutely real in your life. It may not be dramatic, it may not be sensational, but you will be conscious of the presence of the Lord as you hold fast to His promise. That's a starting point. That's X marks the spot. The danger is when we memorize and focus on the Scriptures, all we leave with is our own interpretation of that Scripture. But we can ask the Lord to speak clearly through that Scripture. We can begin to discern that same voice that bubbles up when we're prophesying over people and now getting a fresh divine perspective on the Scriptures that we are reading. This is not a daily exercise, it's a lifetime practice. It's the practice of reading the Scriptures prophetically that undergird our journey in the Beloved. Prophecy is a journey. We're looking at the journey of prophecy tonight. We're looking at the reality of theology and experience equaling truth, but ultimately going on a prophetic journey together. We're called to be people that are recipients of the prophetic word and to develop in the prophetic word. I touched on briefly this morning that as human beings, we tend to think in linear terms, in straight lines into a future with fixed points on those straight lines. It means we hear a prophecy, we're absolutely thrilled, we look into the future and we see straight lines before us, and we imagine the fixed points along the straight lines and say, that's when God will bring the prophecy to pass. We can try and second guess when the prophetic word will manifest. We can look at our lives. We can reason from past prophecies that such and such a word could come to pass right now. We use logic to try and put together a composite picture of divine activities in our lives. So when we ponder the prophetic journey at a deeper level, we really need to know God. We looked briefly this morning at God's times and seasons in our lives. It means that if we understand that our lives are made up of a number of seasons, we really will not be in any hurry to get out of any season unless the purpose and plan of God has been fulfilled and unless God has worked in us what he has desired in any given season. If we look at our lives as a number of straight lines, we will see prophecy as functional. In other words, it's a means to an end. Here I am today. God gives me a prophecy. I look down the line. I see a fixed point. It will come to pass about then. It's a functional expression of spiritual impartation. We do miss something when we look at prophecy in such logical terms. The truth is, our lives are cyclical. Our lives go around in cycles, and we're in a cycle right now. You might be coming to the end of a cycle in the sphere of activity. You might be coming to the end of a cycle full stop. I've noticed in my own life that a cycle often ends where it began in the first instance. I've noticed how the Lord does that. He takes me back to the beginning again and says, now it is all over. When we see our lives as cyclical, we do not look at prophecy as functional, but relational. If we embrace a prophetic word and say, this is all about relationship, it's not so much what I will be doing in the future, or what will be happening in my life in the future, or where God will be in my life in the future. It's about relationship now. That's a great term to memorize for all eternity. Prophecy is ultimately about relationship now. The truth is, prophecy in its relational context is much more concerned about the journey we take on the road to fulfillment. We imagine that God just wants to put us through our paces in order to fulfill the word of God. But the reality is, God is much more focused on the journey. If you look at Joseph in the Old Testament, he received great dreams and visions from God. Yet look at the journey Joseph had to go on. Look at the very difficult cycles that Joseph had to live through. Did God change in any of the cycles? Had God altered his plans and purposes for Joseph's life in any of the cycles? Absolutely not. But unless the Lord had worked so deeply in Joseph's life during the cycles, nothing would have changed. He would have self-destructed at the end of his journey as he self-destructed in pride at the beginning of his journey. So when we consider the journey of prophecy, we need to be free in the spirit. When God wants to grow a mushroom, he takes 24 hours. It doesn't take long for a mushroom to grow and develop. But when God wants to take you and I on a developmental cycle, it can take 5 or 10 years. This is the beauty of looking back the way in our lives. We should have a very good working knowledge of how the Lord has dealt with our lives historically, because that's how he will deal with our lives in the present and the future. I know how God works in my life in a number of areas. He always likes to surprise me, and he loves to give me a reputation to live up to. He generally promotes me way beyond my maturity levels and says, now I'm giving you an opportunity to be a man in the kingdom of God. I'm giving you an opportunity to grow. I'm giving you an opportunity to develop. In a sense, I need that level of inspiration, for I know when my Heavenly Father believes in me to that level, it produces a great single-mindedness in my personality. So you should be aware of your foibles and know that invariably that's what God is working through. Look at your history since you came to know Jesus. I encourage you to do a chart and to look at the highs and lows of your Christian life, and you will discover at the low points, it's there the Lord has done the most in your life. We all have our own story to tell. We all carry an invisible life message that speaks volumes every time we walk into a room. It's on our countenance. It's on our body language. It's in our words. Life has a variety of ups and downs. And in a season of meditation, I've decided that ultimately life is nothing more than a series of transitions. We transition from childhood to teenage life to 20-something. Every decade seems to bring about transitions of sorts. But when you start to get up there, when you're moving into your 50s, the transitions somehow are deeper and have far-ranging consequences. And how does the Lord get our attention in all the transitions we need to go through? It's simple. We also discover that in a life of a series of transitions, that we also encounter alongside those transitions reality checks. Reality is absolutely brutal, because all of us would choose to camp down at Denial Baptist Church. Sometimes only being partially aware of reality is comforting. To live in thought distortion means we don't need to quite embrace responsibility for all of our actions, and we don't quite have to make major decisions. But I've noticed how brutal reality is. Reality never uses euphemisms and always tells blunt truth, ugly truth, truth that sometimes horrifies. So all of this is going on in all of our cycles. It's part of the journey of prophecy. It's part of our maturing. It's part of our development. I see prophecy now as something entirely different from my initial impressions of prophecy when I began this calling way back in 1997, way back in the mists of time. I had a different perspective of prophecy. I saw it then as something to bless the body with, to encourage the body with. But now I see the apostolic virtue in prophecy, as well as the specific development of the Holy Spirit within prophecy and the leading of the Holy Spirit coming through prophecy. The journey of prophecy takes you and I to the walk of prophecy. My gospel is a Christ-centered gospel. I'm moving into a new season of deeper theological perspectives. I don't really want to accommodate the will of man in response to the gospel, because if we take the will of man and elevate it to the same level as the will of God, it would appear that the will of man can outvote God time and time again on planet Earth. Whether in matters of salvation, matters of government, cultural values, and marketplace principles, whatever it may be, it would appear the will of man is stronger than the will of God. That can never be, for my Bible absolutely emphasizes that our God rules and reigns and never takes a straw poll, never engages in a national referendum to get permission from a people. Can I come and enter your nation and do something anew? So the journey of prophecy leads us into a walk of prophecy, which means our eyes are focused on Jesus. Many of you have received prophecies over this weekend and prophecies historically. Perhaps you're still working through some of the ramifications and looking for the leading of the Holy Spirit to fulfill words spoken historically. In reality, God sets the pace. We can't rush God along when we are involved in the walk of prophecy. In fact, God's plans and purposes are entirely different from our plans and purposes when we receive the prophetic word. In life, It's seldom true that one size fits all, but in this area of prophecy, one size does fit all. When God sets the pace within our prophetic words, he also seeks to develop integrity in our lives, to develop faith in our lives, to develop intimacy with him, to develop faithfulness. Now, some of us may have had those qualities in our soul, but even our strengths in our soul ultimately fail us because we are designed to be men and women of the Spirit. God sometimes has to deplete our soulish qualities to form Christ-like qualities in our spirit. Sometimes in a season of being weakened by events and circumstances, God so chooses to develop integrity, faith, intimacy, and faithfulness in our walk with him as we embark on the walk of prophecy. It's so important to keep before us the reality of God's cycles and seasons in our lives. Ask yourself, what cycle and season am I in now? Go before God and ask him frequently, help me identify the cycle I'm in and the seasons I am in. I have gone through times of severe spiritual suffering historically where I begged God to get me out of the suffering, not knowing that God was only going to release me once he had completed the work he so chose to do in me in very painful seasons. I learned through the principle of surrender to the Lord that, well, if I change my prayer language to help, Lord, get me out and take away the pain. If I change that language to, Lord, do what you want to do in me through this season, but help me understand the cycle. Then the Lord begins to communicate specifics that gives us divine understanding. In a walk of prophecy, the Holy Spirit desires to press in to our prophetic journey. I used to make statements from pulpits like, press in to the prophecies given over you historically. And that was only half true. It was only partially accurate. For the only pressing in that will amount to anything in this life is when the Holy Spirit begins to press in to aspects of prophetic words spoken into our lives historically. The truth is, many Christians have received words in the 1980s and 90s that are only beginning to come to pass right now. Why has there been such a delay? Sometimes God puts in place a divine delay. That's frustrating. It means we're moving into a cycle of qualification, that we will be qualified by Almighty God to walk into prophetic fulfillment. We live too in the reality of seeding our spirits with the scriptures, not in a dry, arid sense, but seeding our spirits with the scriptures in the prophetic sense of the word. That's frustrating. Waiting for a harvest is very frustrating. The scriptures are really a quick fix out of our circumstances. I read a number of years ago of a pyramid, I believe, in Egypt, that was many thousands of years old, and archaeologists found in a jar in this pyramid some seeds that had been sitting there for thousands of years. They were handed over to a laboratory, and the seeds were planted on the earth in perfect conditions of moisture and heat and light. And do you know what happened? The seeds began to grow and blossom, even though they were thousands of years old. The truth in our spirits is highly dependent upon the light of God the moisture of the Holy Spirit and the warmth of God, setting the conditions that the truth deposits in the spirit can grow and develop. Sometimes it happens when a person is expecting at least. I have known several callings in my Christian journey over the years. And in the 90s, I became very aware of a strong calling on my life. But it seemed for a season, God shut down every door. And I wanted that sense of calling just to lift, because I really questioned that sense of calling and was not entirely sure it was valid. And I wanted some kind of normality back into my life rather than carrying this sense of destiny. But at the appointed time, the word of the Lord began to come to pass. So when the Holy Spirit is pressing in within our prophetic journey, we need to see what begins to grow within us. Good things take time. We should never rush spiritual matters. The Holy Spirit does not treat our human spirits like a microwave oven when it comes to cooking truth and growing truth. Our souls are always in a hurry. Our spirits, well, they're never in a hurry. I'm going off the message a little for about 30 seconds, but this is worth remembering. We will be looking at the human spirit tomorrow morning in the context of the new creation. But human spirits learn very slowly. They're slow learners. Our souls can learn like that. That's why we can memorize hundreds of Bible verses and still fall flat on our faces. But our spirit, well, a spirit's a slow learner, but when a spirit learns, it's called revelation, it's called truth, and the spirits never forget. Our spirits are also very slow healers. I have wounds in my spirit that go back to childhood. I have wounds in my spirit that go back to traumatic episodes in my adult life, and God has done a great work in bringing healing into the depths of the wounds that were very real in my spirit. But I know the reality of healing of the human spirit taking a great deal of time. When we're involved in our walk of prophecy, the Lord is doing all of this within us. It's quite incredible looking at you tonight, sitting here in Living Waters Church, that so many deep things of the Lord are going on in your life right now. You're hearing my voice. You're hearing a presentation of the scriptures. But in the depths of your spirit, Almighty God continues to take you on your walk of prophecy. A key word in our walk of prophecy is adjustment, because the Lord often adjusts us. So we let go of something we need to let go of, to let go of anxieties. I've had a difficult day today dealing with some academic issues, and I've been firing emails back and forward between my professors, and it's not resolved even yet. I felt anxieties coming upon me and stress coming upon me. But during the worship tonight, I really sensed the Holy Spirit adjusting me and saying, let go, let go. And I'm saying, and, have you not forgotten something? And. And he said, let go, just let go. And I started to do that and immediately felt so much better. Adjustment's a big part of the walk of prophecy. And I encourage you to listen to the desires of your spirit. A key part of the walk of prophecy is acknowledging the desires that are arising from our hearts. And two primary desires that should be arising from our spirits is an eagerness to learn in the context of our lives, even in the heat of the battle, and always, always to move into a fresh discovery of Jesus. The Lord wants us to enjoy putting on the new. The old is always clamoring for attention. Old attitudes, old mindsets, old emotions. The old is always there in camouflage form. Beware of times the enemy tries to use a Trojan horse in your life to bring aspects of your past back to you. That's why we need to be discerning about new people coming into our lives. We don't go on a witch hunt. We don't take them round the back of the church and give them a good drubbing and say, "Who sent you here?" We just have to discern. We can ask questions like, "Lord, this couple, this man or woman looks real good. What are they carrying of you?" It's not like we're suspicious and jaundiced in our perspectives. But when the Lord says, "I've sent them here for a season to learn from me. I've sent them here for a season to be trained in the word of God. I've sent them here for a season because they've something to contribute to the lonely and the needing in the fellowship." And when God says nothing more, we can rejoice that a true brother and or sister has turned up in our midst. Generally, we know when somebody's carrying something that's of the enemy. The watchdogs in the church are onto them immediately. There's a sense of unease when you're even engaging conversationally. The enemy will always try and bring the old back to us in many shapes and forms. But we enjoy putting on the new. We enjoy putting on the new creation, the force of righteousness, the force of holiness, engaging in depths of faith. Then it gives our walk of prophecy definition and great focus. I'm going to finish the message in a few moments. But ultimately, a big part of the journey of prophecy is our perceptions being aligned by God's purpose. Perception is a big prophetic word, yet it's simple in function. Perception is insight, intuition, and trains a person to have an ability to perceive. If you're ever around somebody who is highly perceptive, it's scary what they know about everyone. It's scary how quick they pick up on inconsistencies, vague generalities a person is speaking, and obvious information gaps that a person demonstrates in the sharing of their lives. That can be an activity of the soul, but we are called to be people of the Spirit, to perceive with our spirits. Means we have insight. When I prophesy over people, I depend heavily on divine insights, on the lives, who they are, where they are coming from. I depend on prophetic intuition, that in my spirit, the Holy Spirit is giving me intuition that I know I could never create in my own strength or by an act of my own willpower. The walk of prophecy trains us into the ability to perceive, that we have the ability to perceive, to look at a circumstance and have divine interpretation, to look at a number of issues that are coming out of a circumstance and to begin to perceive divine order in dealing with the issues. The walk of prophecy, it's all about living as inside-out people rather than being troubled by external events, rather than being grieved in our hearts by the stimuli that always surrounds us. It's this reality of the word and prophecy that brings balance. I'm encouraging more and more congregations to stop pressing in for prophecy and begin to press in to the Lord of the Scriptures, that he can speak prophetically to the church through the Scriptures. As we move into a great apostolic age, I firmly believe that a multitude of believers will be so apostolically and prophetically formed that anyone going to a local church will be able to receive an incredible fresh download of the Holy Spirit as truth is shared. We've lived in the novelty of prophecy. We've lived in the blessing of prophecy. But in the early stages of a building season, let's look at prophecy and the prophetic unction as requiring a dedicated word life where the Lord speaks through the scriptures to give us experience of the scriptures and so be truth in our human experience, to enable us to go on the journey of prophecy, to engage in the walk of prophecy, that the cycle will always be hearing, developing, fulfillment. The greatest joy we can know in this life is entering into the experience of Scripture, to watch Scripture being fulfilled in our lives. It's great to encounter prophecy coming to pass in our lives. It's a happy, joyful moment. But could you imagine the joy inexpressible in our lives if we saw the promises of Ephesians being fulfilled in our lives? If we lived in the reality where we truly moved out of being seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, into our everyday circumstances, the Apostolic Church will experience the fulfillment of Scripture, and in experiencing the fulfillment of Scripture, live in the truth, a person who is our righteousness, who is our sanctification, who is our wisdom. An apostolic church embraces the prophetic to reveal to the people that Christ is all and in all. That even in the darkest of experiences we go through in this life, we can look for the Lord in that, even though He did not author it. We need to have a correct side up faith when it comes to the prophetic and the word, that God is on the winning side. He's not trying to salvage us from the attacks of the enemy on our lives. He's not doing the best he can to deal with the destruction the enemy has wrought in the USA at this time. God remains God. He is the Father of our spirits. He is the God who brings us into His presence, who gives us a truth encounter, who shapes and forms us in our spirits, that in the last analysis, we will know the power of being indomitable in our spirit and unshakable in our spirit. This is not Christian fantasy. It's apostolic and prophetic reality. The early church lived in that indomitable spirit and unshakability in their faith, even though it cost them absolutely everything. There's a fledgling apostolic and prophetic church moving further into the 21st century, so we can allow the Holy Spirit to heighten our faith, but also impart to our faith the fear of the Lord. That this is not a game we're playing. That while we can enjoy intimacy with God, we dare not move into over-familiar relationship with God. Learning the contradictions, so-called, of the Christian faith, or as Graham Cook puts it, the paradox of the Christian faith. In this early phase of our new prophetic journey for the 21st century, we're beginning to mine a new language, a fresh understanding that gives our walk with the Lord new prophetic relevance. We will finish in the morning looking at the human spirit, but for now, back to Pastor Dave.